Now turn with me as we read today some verses in God's Word in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, and reading together at verse 1. These are very familiar verses to us, I'm sure. But let's read just these 10 verses together. And as we read them, let's remember that this is the Word of God. John writes, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and shew unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Amen. We know God will add his blessing to this reading from his Word. Last Sunday morning in our little series on the ships of Scripture, we were considering worship. And I know that for many people today that worship is a hot potato. And such is the diversity in worship amongst God's people, not just in the local church, but also in different cultures. It has caused all kinds of problems and divisions. Understanding the complexity of the task is not easy. Seeking to find a balance in a church where there's a great age difference is also no easy task. But we address two different questions. What is the aim of our worship? In other words, when you and I come out today and we meet to worship the Lord, what is our aim and who do we have our eyes on? It should be the aim of the preacher or whoever leads the worship to set the tone for the meeting. It should be the aim of the preacher to lead his people closer to God through the ministry of God's Word. It should be the aim of the musicians to glorify God. It should be the aim for all of us to worship God aright. And it should be the aim of every individual Christian to make adequate preparation of heart before they come out to sit in the Lord's presence and to bring their worship to him. We need to remember who God is. We need to remember what we are and never come to God casually or carnally, nor indeed lose our reverence or respect for his holy name. What is the manner of our worship? Well, that's where the difficulties arise. Should our worship be traditional, contemporary, both? What about music in the church? These are all real issues. Real issues that many churches have never yet addressed honestly and openly. But we should do that openly and listen to the views of both the old and the young. And as long as everything is done decently and in order and it honors the Lord, you can always find a balance. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And remember the words of the Apostle Paul, let all things be done decently and in order. But today we move on to another ship of Scripture, and that is fellowship. There's no doubt in many churches today, and I'm not talking about churches like Lisburn, I'm talking about churches of various denominations, there is no doubt that real Christian fellowship is under great strain. Broken relationships have robbed believers of rich fellowship in Christ in too many churches today. Diversity of views has taken its toll. And instead of fellowship, there is often disagreement and there is often division amongst the Lord's people. Lack of tolerance has divided God's people and left so many of God's people today cynical and suspicious and very critical of others in the family of God. Now, you don't need me to tell you today this because you know it from experience and I know it from my own walk with God. That where these things exist, it is very difficult to find true Christian fellowship. Where there are broken relationships, where there's no dire desire to have them repaired, that's a difficulty. Where there is great diversity of views and people cannot tolerate others who see things different, that is a grave difficulty. And where all of these things exist and are allowed to grow, very often it's difficult to find true Christian fellowship. We often talk about it. We often pray about it. And yet very often we turn our backs on the very vehicle that God has given to us whereby Christians can grow together in Christ and be encouraged in their walk with God. Bruce Millen served the Lord for a number of years in East Africa, later lectured in Spurgeon's College in London. He has written a little book on fellowship. It's simply entitled, We Belong Together. I bought that book a number of years ago. I did something that I very seldom do when I buy a book. I didn't read the back of it. I didn't even read the preface inside to see what it was about. I simply bought it because the title gripped my heart. We belong together. And beloved, whatever you and I might feel about the subject of fellowship, worship, headship, and all the other ships of Scripture that we have considered in recent weeks, the fact is that as the Lord's people, we belong together. We don't go out in a fellowship in other places through the week with those who are unconverted. We don't go out and sit and worship in the pubs and clubs around this particular city. We don't do that because it's not the Christian thing to do. We don't belong with those people, not that we don't pray for them, not that we don't long that they might come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, but we don't belong with them. We belong together with those of like precious faith, with those who have pledged their love and their loyalty to Jesus Christ, with those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the work of God in this place. We belong together. You only have to look at how God's people are described in Scripture to see how important it is that we understand our relationship to each other. Let me mention three things and think about them. And these are just in passing. This isn't what I'm trying to say today. But just think about these three things and ask yourself the question, what are we going to do in heaven if we can't live together in fellowship on earth? Three things. We are God's people. What does that mean? It means that we're part of God's spiritual family. That's what it means. We're God's people. We're distinctly different from all those around us who know not Christ, have never professed faith in Christ, who never darkened the door of a place of worship. We are distinctly different. We are God's people, part of His great spiritual family. And He has brought us into that family by grace. He treats every single one of us the same. We're God's people. Here's the second thing. We're the body of Christ. Do you know what that means? That means that we are not only united to Christ, our head, but we are united to each other in Him. In Him. And here's the third thing. We're the bride of Christ. And one of these days, though we all have different views and we're entitled to them in the whole area of eschatology, you have yours, I have mine, that's fine, I can live with that. But one of these days, the Lord Jesus Christ will come and He'll take His bride home to enjoy fellowship with Him eternally, and we're part of it. We're part of it. And how are we ever going to enjoy the bliss and beauty of heaven with all that it opens up for the child of God if we struggle down here to enjoy the fellowship that God wants us to enjoy? There's something wrong if we don't enjoy each other's fellowship. Something wrong. You see, as far as Scripture's concerned, Christians were never meant to live in isolation. Christians were never meant to form little groups of the same persuasion within any local church. The fact is, we belong together. And when we realize just how important that is, and how we can complement each other in the work of God, then fellowship in the local church can be deepened, and it can be developed, and more importantly, it can be enjoyed. It can be enjoyed. Two things. Number one, the meaning of Christian fellowship. What does it mean? What does it say to me as someone who's part of the family of God, as someone who is part of this bigger body, as someone who one day is going to have to go home to heaven, leave the scene behind and account for myself? What does Christian fellowship mean? Well, when you and I look at the New Testament and the experience of those early Christians, they who pledged their allegiance to Christ and to each other, you'll see that they've set a great example to follow. Read sometime through the early chapters of the Acts of the Apostles and you'll see how the Spirit of God works in the hearts of these people. Churches are formed, blessing comes, relationships are deepened, evangelism is going out to people. You'll read all of those various things. You've read them often before. But those people came from all walks of life, different in so many ways, and their fellowship in Jesus Christ, it's a beauty to behold. The word fellowship in the original language is a word with a very deep meaning. Most commonly translated word in the New Testament for fellowship, koinonia. It means to have active participation with someone in something. It was used in the secular world in a business context, speaking of a partnership, speaking of a mutual association. And by that I mean this. Luke 5 verse 10 says this of the disciples. And so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. That's the idea. That's the word. They were fellowshippers together. There was an active participation on their part. They were in business together. We belong together. That's the important thing. We belong together. And when you look at the word in its New Testament usage, it carries with it a specific reference to the thing which is the basis and the ground of their mutual association. And for us today, it implies or it speaks about our common participation in Christ. That's it. Our participation in Christ. So two things. Firstly, fellowship involves a right relationship with God. Before you and I can enjoy fellowship with each other, we must first of all enjoy fellowship with God. And I'm talking about an ongoing, unbroken relationship with Him. If we don't have fellowship with God, and our hearts with God are not right, and our walk with God is not right, we really can't enter into any true fellowship with other believers in Christ. Because you see, biblical fellowship is Christian fellowship. And you say to me this morning, Pastor, what is the basis for our Christian fellowship? I'll tell you what's not before I tell you what is. I'll tell you what's not. It's not my views on the Lord's return. Nothing to do with that whatsoever. I can fellowship with men who see things differently than I do. That's not the basis for my fellowship with them. It's not even my understanding of the local church, which I believe strongly in. Others see it differently. That's not the basis for my fellowship. And I know this might seem strange. It's not even the covering of one's head. Whatever views might be, that's not the basis for Christian fellowship. We've read today about fellowship. This is the basis for our Christian fellowship. We have seen and heard and declare unto you that you also may have fellowship with us. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. There's the basis for our fellowship. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the crosswork of Jesus Christ. And we may not always agree on everything, and we never will, let's be honest. But whether we agree or not, we're united in Christ to each other. And if we would spend more time rejoicing in the things that unite us, instead of debating the things that divide us, I'm telling you that every local church in this land would be a better place to be. Every one of them. Our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the basis for that is the crosswork of Jesus Christ. That's what makes you and me different. That's what makes it when you come together to worship, even you go across the world, and I've been in many places and serving the Lord, and I'm grateful for it. I've worshipped with 2,000 people, and I've worshipped with 6 in a house. I've worshipped with people who have had everything that God could have given them, and I've worshipped with some who hadn't even shoes on their feet to come to church. I've worshipped with people who have fought over versions, and I've worshipped with people who hadn't even got a version. Not even a page of scripture. What united us? Christ. That's it. Christ. What I am today, I am by the grace of God. What you are today, you are by the grace of God. Nothing more. It took the same grace to save us. It takes the same grace to sustain us. And thank God the same grace will bring us safely home. And while we're here, we're not just united to Christ, we are united to each other in Him. We belong together. And the basis of that is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that has cleansed us from all sin. Maybe you're here this morning. You're not a Christian. Maybe you're saying to yourself, listen, Pastor, I'm not part of that family. I don't have no such hope of going home to heaven when Jesus comes. I have no faith like that. In fact, Pastor, the truth is, as far as I'm concerned, I have been fellowshipping with those kind of people you have described outside in the world. Well, listen, friend. That's a road that leads to destruction, the Bible says. It's a broad road that leads you further away from God. If you're going to enjoy fellowship with God, then you need to come to Jesus Christ and trust Him as your Savior. That means turning from your sin. That means coming to the cross. That means embracing Him and the salvation He has purchased through the shedding of His own blood and making Jesus Christ yours personally. You know what Jim Packer says? He says the person who is not in fellowship with the Father and the Son is no Christian at all. Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian at all. You don't know what this fellowship is all about. Trust Christ today. Turn from your sin today and come to know this salvation that Christ has purchased for you. Fellowship involves a right relationship with God. Fellowship involves a right relationship with God's people. You would expect me to say that because this follows on very simply and naturally. Can I say this? If I understand my Bible, you cannot have one without the other. No man or woman can claim to be having sweet fellowship with God, sweet times in the Lord's presence, if they're out of fellowship with the Lord's people. I know that raises all kinds of issues. I understand that. But if anything, as Christians, we need to be honest. We need to be people with integrity. We need to be people who believe the whole Bible. And one of the things that the Scripture makes clear, if we're not in fellowship with other Christians, then our fellowship with God is not right. Can't be. You say to me, well, listen, Pastor, why would you make a statement like that? Well, if you don't listen to this John, listen to the Apostle John. Here's what he says, 1 John 4. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And we love Him, because He first loved us. If a man says, I love God, and he hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from Him. From Him. That he who loves God must love his brother also. Doesn't matter how strongly we hold our views theologically. Doesn't matter whether or not we move from our position on whatever issue Scripture teaches, and there are many of them. We cannot claim to be having sweet fellowship with God if there's no fellowship with God's people. Can't be. And sometimes in our defense of certain things that pertain to church life, whether it be theological, whether it's constitutional, People will say, well, I'm only interested in the good of this church. There's nothing wrong with that, and it's right that you and I feel that. But if we're interested genuinely in the good of this church, we're interested in the members of it. We're interested in the members of it. Their welfare. And if we're not, then perhaps I need to go home and look at my fellowship with God. Because if it's not right and the foundation's not laid, fellowship in every other way is affected. The meaning of Christian fellowship, mutual participation in something, in our case, Christ, our fellowships with the Father and with the Son through the cross work of Christ himself. Here's the second thing. The ministry of Christian fellowship. It's one thing to understand what the Scripture says on issues. But how do we take them and how do we practically develop them? How do we deepen fellowship within the life of a local church? How can any local church make itself a better local church to be? Well, the early church no doubt met often for times of fellowship, caring, sharing. I have to say that's not always easy in a church like this, where there are so many departments and so many activities. So deepening and enriching fellowship is something not only we're concerned about, it's something that we must try to develop. There are many ways of doing it. In fact, if you consider historically the work of Methodism, one of the great blessings in their development was called fellowship meetings. Just times when they came together to share together, care for each other, enrich each other, edify each other, build up. Now you can call those nights whatever you like. But there are many local churches today that don't have them. And they're poorer spiritually because of it. Can I mention two things? They're simple, not new, but if we treated them seriously, I guarantee they'd transform the life of this fellowship and any other fellowship like it. Firstly, by taking an interest in each other. That's what fellowship is. Fellowship says today that we're interested in people. We care about them. Interested enough to take an interest in their personal lives, their family lives. Interested enough to pray with them and for them. To get them through all that life has thrown at them. Fellowship with others says that we're interested enough to open up our hearts and homes to them. I know church life's busy. It doesn't often lend itself to that kind of fellowship. And I know some people will turn around and say this morning, Pastor, I was under the impression that's what we pay you for. Is that not what we've set elders aside for? Yes, that's true. That's part of the work that they seek to do. But in the local church, it's the responsibility of each one to look out for the good of all. Take an interest in others. Get alongside and encourage them. Beloved, I don't know what it is about God's people. And this isn't just of Lisburn. This is right across the board today. There are far more of God's people who want to get alongside people to discourage them rather than encourage them. That can't be right. That's not consistent with Christian fellowship. Yes, there are times when we get alongside, and there are times when we have to be firm, and there are times when we have to, for the good of the gospel and the truth of Scripture, deal with issues. But you know, there are multitudes in the family of God today. Multitudes. And they're deeply and genuinely not interested in the battles that other people are facing in church life. Their marriage is on the rocks. Their children are struggling in the middle of the night. They're coping with neighbors who are breaking their heart because they dare stand as a Christian. They're living all around us. Some of them are living with us. Some of them are members of this church. You know something? They feel today that nobody cares. Fellowship is much more than walking through a church door on a Sunday morning and shaking hands with someone in the car park before you jump into the car to go home and never see again for a week or two. That's not fellowship. But you have to sit in this church today and look up 6 or 8 pews or 10 pews and turn around and say, who's that wee woman sits up there? How would you feel if somebody said, well, she's been sitting there for the last 15 years? Would there not have been one Sunday, just one, where you might have walked up and said, good morning, and not only how are you, but who are you? That's fellowship. By taking an interest in each other, and by showing love to each other. That's the second thing. Simple. Was so difficult. When we say we are going to share fellowship, we're showing a desire to love even at times those who are unlovable. You ever sat down and said, oh, see him? Can't stand him. See her? No time. That's one of your family. That's one of God's children. That's someone who, like you, is thankful for the grace of God in their lives. You belong together. All of us, we belong together. And Peter says, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Fervently. It's a high standard, isn't it? We might not like some of the people in this church, what they do or what they say or what they stand for. We might not appreciate sometimes that they're different from us. But what's our relationship with them? I've quoted these words often. And I'm going to quote them again. For every time in my life, and you'll say, my, you're a most unspiritual pastor, but I'm going to be honest today. If it means wearing my heart in my sleeve, so be it. Every time there's a difficulty and there's a root of bitterness that seeks to spring up in my heart, I sit down and I read this again. 1 Corinthians 13, a new translation of the New Testament by James Moffat. I've even got it stuck up on the wall of my study. If I have no love, I count for nothing. If I have no love, I count for nothing. I may distribute all I possess in charity, give up my body to be burned. If I have no love, I make nothing of it. Because love's patient and kind. knows no jealousy, makes no parade, gives itself no airs, is never rude, never selfish, never irritated, never resentful. Love is never glad when others go wrong. Love is gladdened by goodness, always slow to expose, always eager to believe the best, always hopeful, always patient. Love never disappears. So I read that and I am compelled to ask myself this question. John, is that the kind of love evidenced in your life as a Christian? No, Lord, but I'll tell you. No, Lord. I'll not tell you anything about the other things that I do. You already know. I'll not tell you about the other things that I give to you already know. I'll not tell you about the things that I pray for you already know. Just this one thing. Just the one thing. Is this the kind of love evidenced in my life as a Christian? It's biblical. And if it is that the kind of love that marks my fellowship with others in God's great family who meet in this place, who share the same precious faith? Because if it's not, the Lord will ask us why not. Two young friends, they grew up together during difficult days prior to World War I. Went to school, played together, did everything. They were inseparable. They then enlisted into the army to fight, and they joined together and trained together. When they were shipped out for service, they fought together side by side in the trenches. One day during an attack, one of the men was severely wounded. He was lying out in the open. He wasn't able to make his way back again to the trenches because of his injuries. And to make matters worse, the enemy were firing incessantly. It was impossible to reach him. Without warning, the friend jumped out of the trenches and made his way to where the man was lying. And the sergeant shouted at him, "Get back, get back." But the man kept running. A few minutes later, he returned with the body of the other man over his shoulders. And as he hobbled in, he fell into the trenches. He'd been hit by enemy fire and he was dying. The sergeant was raging. He began to shout at him and said, "What are you doing? What a waste. He's dead. And now you're dying too. It wasn't worth it." And with his dying breath, the man looked up at the face of his sergeant and smiled. He said, "Yes, sergeant, it was worth it. For when I got to him, he said to me just before he died, 'Jim, I knew that you would come for me. I knew that you would come for me.'" Two friends. Oh, we might never be called to such extremes for each other. But we belong together. We belong together. And the fellowship is to be real and enriching. Maybe it's time for some of us to put ourselves in the firing line and go and get down with others and deepen the fellowship that ought to exist amongst the people of God. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you again and we understand the subject we have thought about briefly. There are many things that could be said about Christian fellowship. But the fact is, our Father, that we do belong together. We don't always see eye to eye with other believers on everything. But we are members of your family. And we pray, our Father, we might be those who care for each other, show respect to each other, learn to love one another. For did not our blessed Savior himself say, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another"? For those here today who know not Christ as Savior, perhaps fellowshipping in the things of the world, Father, not critically but lovingly we pray for them, that they might come to enjoy and know real fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, through the blood of Christ's cross. Hear our prayers, we pray. Make us receptive to your word today and obedient to it, for Christ's sake.